and it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast. It is 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is October 31st, 2016, and this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio Studio 1, we're going to thank Doug Newsom, as always, for being such a trooper. And we want to share with you some information about what's going around the globe. As my view from Israel is different from your view from elsewhere. And I'm sure that you're going to enjoy, because there is so many things that are so different today than it was yesterday. And every day it's a change. And I hope that this change will bring a better future for all of us. And you know, in the midst of everything, we had a devastating news about the earthquake in Italy. Let's listen to it.
Another huge earthquake has struck central Italy. The powerful tremor is reported to have had a magnitude of up to 7.1. The epicenter is thought to have been around the town of Noccia between Umbria and Marche. People in the capital, Rome, were reportedly woken by their buildings shaking just after 7:30 this morning. This latest quake comes after the region was rocked by damaging tremors on Wednesday last week. The latest tremor is thought to have originated in the same area. There's no news yet on casualties or on the damage caused.
All right. I hope it wasn't interfered with in some other way, but that was the news about the situation in Italy. I was on the phone with my friend when it happened. He was talking to me about a new page that he was creating, and he was in Rome, you know, early in the morning, and I was on my way and you know, to wash my car, and it was incredible that he said, hey, something happened here, it's all moved, and we felt it. And he's from Rome, and there in Rome there we have so many friends that we care for and we love, and we send them all our love. And also, you know, in Trieste, in Rome, in Milan, in other Calabria, so many people around Italy that we know we love. And the president of Italy came to visit Israel in all of this, and the joint venture between the two states are keeping as well, as also if anything is needed by Italy, the Israeli government will be happy to sustain them and help and send all their best you know, help that they can in that moment. And while we're doing this, you know, the earthquake is one place, and there is the attack on in Iraq on Mosul, where ISIS base is for a strong, very strong. The distance is really, really clear, and they were supposed to be there now. You know, they need to conquer that city, and it's happening on the ground. They said that they're a few miles away. And I'm sure that if they persist, they can take it even for tonight. Let's listen to what we have on Iraq.
The Iraqi army has begun what it calls phase two of the battle to recapture the ISIL stronghold of Mosul, having retaken most of the towns surrounding the country's second largest city. With Shiite militias having launched an offensive to Mosul's west, the city is now encircled. Kurdish Peshmerga forces advancing from the east say the push against ISIL, known here as Daesh, has been faster than anticipated.
Daesh is not resisting, Daesh is retreating.
Retreating, no doubt, though the carnage left behind does not indicate a lack of resistance.
The red flag just behind me indicates there is still a live improvised explosive device beside the road. A few meters away, looks like a stack of innocuous pot plants are in fact filled with dynamite. It's going to be many months before residents can start moving back into villages like this one. Right now, just stepping off the road can be a deadly mistake.
The appearance of Shiite militias on the battlefield in this Sunni-majority area has also raised concerns in Iraq and neighbouring Turkey of reprisal killings. Local Shiites were forced from the area or murdered after ISIL swept in. The militias say they may also take the fight across the border into Syria.
We in Iraq, after clearing all our land from these terrorist gangs, we are fully ready to go to any place that contains a threat to Iraqi national security. Syria is definitely where terrorist groups exist that pose the largest threat to Iraq, and we will do this through coordination between the Iraqi and Syrian government.
After Mosul in Iraq, Raqqa in Syria remains ISIL's last major stronghold. Jack Barton, CCTV, Fazlia in northern Iraq.
All right. There are many brave journalists that are going to Iraq to see it through, and they're getting the support that needed to in the media, and I wish them luck, and I hope that to see them all come back home safely. Now, of course, there is a question of who is going to be taking care of Mosul. And I know that the forces of Turkey were ready to go when you have the Kurds there and the Turks that wanted to go to, into the fight zone too, and the Saudis offering to help. That can provide a very good formula for you know, crazy exchange. So I hope that the Iraqi will keep it cool and will continue with their effort and will be successful, because they need to free their land, like the Syrian needs to go back and restart the old new rebuilding of the country. So do we think that we are in reconstruction mode? Think again. We're getting Iraqi back to Mosul. They're going to have Raqqa soon, you know, some confrontation. The Turks are very, 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 very upset, let's say. They are on the edge, so they can explode in any time. But meanwhile, today we have a new president for Lebanon, a very interesting collaboration of Iranian and Hezbollah to be in charge of Lebanon. Now, the first thing that this gentleman says is he's going to come back and conquer the land from the Israeli. Now, I was wondering, what kind of land Israel is occupying, you know, of Lebanon by all international law? Let's recap it for a minute, okay? 1982, the Israeli invaded Lebanon, truth. In 2000, Israel exit from Lebanon, truth. After 2000, we had an approval of the United Nations saying that Israel did exit according to 245 of the UN resolution. So what part of Lebanon are we actually thinking of? Probably Shaba Farm, which the Syrian include in their map, and they think that it's a Syrian one. But let me remind the Lebanese people what Israel is really doing, even to their enemy, staunch enemy, in all the midst. I remember 1996, I had a meeting with Lebanese friends who visited Tel Aviv, I don't know in what format, but he was in Tel Aviv having lunch with some friends of ours. That's how I met him. You know, I didn't have any meeting with him, of course. It was just lunch or was dinner, whatever it was. And he was saying that, oh my God, Syria is occupying the land of Lebanon. We couldn't take care of it. It's over. And I said, you know what? I'm in America. And in America, we believe in justice. And in America, we do everything in our effort, in our best to effort to help people. Even though that they're Lebanese. And, you know, the fact that he was in Tel Aviv made me feel like Lebanese are warming up to Israel. That's why they're, you know, they're friendly. So I'm going back to America, and I remember this promise that I made. because a world, when you say truth, you remember it. When you're honest to God and you honestly believe in what you're saying, you will remember, or God will remind you, I guess. I don't know which one is better. But the fact of the matter, I was running for election I was campaigning to be elected in the primaries of the Republican Party in 2004. It was after 9/11, yes, when everybody were in shock. After 9/11, I was running around South Carolina, seeing everybody freezing. I said, "Oh, somebody has to do something about it," and they're all freaking out. 2002 passed, and they're still very chilly, the atmosphere. 2003, I was running because there was also, people that wanted to scrape God from In God We Trust. And once you start with God, being from the Holy Land, you feel entitled to intervene. So sure enough, I ran. Scary stuff, because I didn't have any support, but I was believer like I am today. So I knew that God will provide, and that's, so there we go. I went and I had so many debates. Once the debate, they were talking about Lebanon, and said, take Syria out of Lebanon. Kept my promise. I had the stage. I said it. Sure enough, Condoleezza Rice, I don't know how it put it up. It's not like I'm doing a Donald Trump here. But sure enough, Condoleezza Rice gave Syria the bill to get out of Lebanon, with President Bush, of course. And that's how they evacuate Lebanon, leaving the Hezbollah that had to run for office like a normal organization, which they will never be because they are terrorists, and they still are declared terrorists all over the world. And that's the way they're acting, hiding in a bunker. So the fact of the matter, I was honest to God with my will to help the Lebanese, from their oppression. And it was a real oppression. It wasn't like, they invaded another country. But sure enough, this guy coming out today, and he wants, by all means, he's 80 years old. The old guard, the one that hate Israel to the guts, forget that the new age is a new, technological advancement. We want to teach for each other up, but we want to be friends, like global world should be. Nothing. This guy came out. Well, he's 80 years old, so I'm sure that his life will be interesting for the next few years. But by all means, don't start this way. If you want to take Lebanon to a good day, it's different. Or he wants to take it back to Syrian. You never know. You never know. So watch out, Lebanon. You were out of the scheme now of fact. Now you're back in the loop. Congratulations, you made it. All right, meanwhile, Middle East is crazy as always, because every day gives you a new thing. We have something good to inform you all. Canada actually signed an accord with the EU, which will give them some international agreement, which is a startup of the routine that they're going to have with America and probably with England. So let's listen to what they had to say about it.
It suffered delays and near derailment. And even on the morning when Canada and the European Union were due to formally sign CETA, the EU-Canada Comprehensive Economic and Trade Agreement, another minor setback. The Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was running late.
As EU leaders await the arrival of the Canadian Prime Minister, protesters have gathered ahead of the summit. They say they don't want CETA and are chanting that this is what democracy looks like. But has time run out for them to get their voice heard?
Whatever was happening outside, inside, as leaders arrived, the mood was buoyant. CETA was finally roaring to the finish line.
Today we are fixing in a definite way the global standards the European Union and the European Commission wants to be accepted by others.
And so the moment arrived. The Canadian Prime Minister and the EU's top brass put their signatures to the trade deal that would remove 99% of trade tariffs between Canada and the EU.
Small businesses, consumers will start to feel the benefits of this immediately, even before all the 28 different parliaments proceed with their ratification steps.
The battle for CETA also showed how important impressions and emotions are in the modern world. It showed that facts and figures won't stand up for themselves alone.
CETA's provisional implementation is expected to begin early next year, while its full force awaits final clearance by national and regional parliaments across Europe. Back outside, 16 protesters were arrested. Is their battle against CETA over? Not quite yet. Mariam Zaidi, CCTV, Brussels.
All right. You know, there is always that group that keep it interesting. You know, every G8 meeting, there is a no global group that riots around. And nobody knows who pays them, or, you know, who created them and where they're coming from. But I have a really, really big suspect because, you know, you cannot find any no global information around, only, you know, by a fluke of luck. And that fluke of luck happened a few years back when they were celebrating some 25 years or whatever to their organization. And I'm saying, okay, where, when was it that you got established? And it was written 1968. No Global is working around in the background. Nobody knows who pays them since 1968. And in 1968, something else happened. 67? Yes, something around that time. The PLO started. So I understood that there is some kind of coordination, because if the Palestinian movement just started in 1968, and I love what you go on the Palestinian issue and you find. Now, listen, I'm a very, very kind woman, normally, until you really start diverting the truth or changing it or trying to redecorate your life with some map. For example, you go to 1946 Palestinian map, and they put the flag of Palestine and they on the map of Israel. The state of Israel, 1946, on the Palestinian map, and you'll find Palestinian flag. Now, excuse me, there was no state of Palestine ever. It's like never. It's still never. So it's like you're taking a heart-shaped flag and you put it on the moon. You said, this is mine. It's like, that's what they say. They just put it on the land of Israel, on the territory of the land of Israel, and they put the flag of the so-called institution of Palestinian. Now, you know, I can understand they're really adamant about it and they're really convinced. And a few days back, I had a really, really great conversation with a very smart man, incredible, brilliant man, that he was a Catholic. He was born Catholic. Then he was bored, and he became Hindus or something. Then he went Buddha, and then he went, and now he's a Muslim. All right, so, okay, you're Muslim. What do you want to talk about? Oh, you guys, you took the land of Israel, the land of Palestine from the Palestinians. I said, excuse me, but we just actually add the title on the land. And he was talking to me convincingly that all the lies that they gave him, he actually believed. So it's really, really interesting. And we had some kind of appointment maybe to talk the next session, next on Monday. So we don't know if we'll be lucky to get him. But he's very smart. But we need to set this record straight because, guys, the United Nations needs to look at the maps around and start talking, you know, plain English or plain France, whatever, Francais if they want, but whatever it is, it needs to be one coherent plan. You guys want to make a solution of a problem that was never there, because if the land of that Israel is now in was called Palestine by the territory. That's the name. It's like you call land America. Okay, but you can't actually touch America. It's America. I don't know how you can say, but this was the Roman gave it the name. So we have a territory that was under Ottoman Empire, means the Turks. The Turks did not take care of it, so the world decided to renegotiate how the lands will become. And then they cut it again, and they gave the mandate to Palestine to the English. We have, the papers and everything. There is a record. The English are very, very organized. And they were supposed to facilitate the building of the Jewish homeland. Sure enough, the Saudis wanted a stack of it, and they got a half of it. That now you got Jordan. It was Transjordan. It was supposed to be the Jewish land before. Okay, so if anybody took anything, were the Jordanian from the Israeli, not the opposite. Now, then you had the people who live in the land. Now, if your father or your forefather have a house in some remote place in Colorado, and you sit there, and then they vanish from the land because ages, generation after, you come and you say, hey, you have the deeds to that land. You come and get it. And there are some people living there because they passed along, saw it empty, and they stayed there. But they didn't really build it or anything. They just, use it or whatever. Does it make the land theirs by ownership because they sit on there? Is an empty, vacant lot that somebody occupied will be theirs? No. No, we got the title on the land. Now, this guy, smart guy, said, oh, this is idol worship or something like that. And I'm saying, why? Because, you have a virtual land. It's something only biblical. And I'm saying, no, we are real people with real promised land, with a real Bible to show for it, and a real temple and second temple that was worshipped by the Christian too. So let's start talking about truth, life, and what we're going to do about it, and not trying to sell fiction. Because there is a UFO stories running around, and maybe the Palestinian can join venture. That is my story for them. Anyway, let's listen to some music, and we'll be back after that. The world is so beautiful. Now, you listen to that music. That's music by Idan Reichler. He's a singer, Israeli singer. And the same music was used by a great, great artist, Celentano and Mina, the greatest singer in Italy, performing the same music. Now, we're waiting for the American style one, but let's listen to the Italian one.
E se non ti avessi amato mai, adesso non saresti qui, ma non mi chiedere perché, adesso è qui, amami.
E io mai mi abituerò alla tua voce, ai tuoi addii, contro la nostra volontà.
All right. All right, that was incredible. Now, do you know how old those two are? I'm not going to be specific, but he is over 70 years old, 70, and she is over 80 years old. So for all those goodies, you know, good old guys out there that have a great voice, please, let's make some, you know, words to this music in English, in France, in any language possible to say we love each other, we care for each other, this world belongs to us. The music is fantastic and it comes from the Holy Land, so we better make some good deed about it. That's my belief, that we can surround the world with great music, with some heart and great movies, you know, like style that used to make some times ago, but I hope that they'll come back and make some new one. But the truth of the matter, it's our world. What do we want to make out of it? And I know that this global condition is really getting people on the edge because they cannot be in control. But control is not always what can make you go over the hill. It may be management. If you manage your life better, if you manage your ideas better, maybe you can actually surpass whatever, you know, you ever thought you can become, and you can be beautiful, better, greater. And the Arab nations are all around. They are fighting. And I don't know why they keep on doing it. At the end of the day, they are dead. You know, it's like, what's the point? The point is to get over it and start a new life. Maybe open some schools, teach something. And I know that there were a lot of kids in Africa. 900 kids got released last week. So thank God for that. Probably somebody was smart enough to make some deals. So let's have some deals with all those, you know, because they're probably broken. And bring some kids home, PLO homes, all the people that are in bondage needs to be free back home. And it's not easy because there is no home to go back to. That's why we have the refugee problem. But one comment that I'm going to give in all myths about refugees crisis, in all of this, Australia decided to be very strong and tough on refugee and not let anybody in. Now let's think. America is the land of the free, the promised land of, you know, the land that you can be happy and your pursuit of happiness is sacred. But Australia, no. For some reason, Australian, they have so much title on, you know, on land, huge. They wouldn't accommodate anybody on the desert. I can't believe this is the lands belong to the world. It belongs to people. And, you know, sometimes you belong to one side of the moon and sometimes you belong to the other. Does it really matter? But if you marry somebody or not, sometimes, you know, if you have space, give them to stay. What Australian government? All of a sudden, they become mean. All right. Good for you. Well, let's hope that God forgave you because those people were in the middle of the ocean when you kicked them out. Or they are still in the middle of the ocean. You still kick them out. This is aggravating. You know, it's really aggravating because you know what's the title of refugees? Refugees is people that have, they are running away from devastation. Is devastation of hunger? Is devastation? It is. If, you know, running from enemies, of course, is a refugee entitled. But those refugees are entitled to some normal condition. Now let's ask, what kind of a condition Australia is giving them? They put them in. You know, in a place where deers will live or animal will live, places obnoxiously yucky. So what, I'm sorry I'm using this kind of word, but I don't know what to use because Australian and they're all up and about and they have an attitude about it like they are right. The European are struggling, trying to accommodate all those refugees and the Australian saying no and they own such a big land. And America needs to take on with, you know, how much he put out all those years. You see, America gave everything she could to help the world. Let's be frank and honest about it. really honest about it. The fact that she used the military as a stronghold, yes, because that's the only protection she can get, right? Nobody's going to protect her back, and we know that in 9/11. We remember that in 9/11. We remember when 9/11 happened. You know what the frustration was in the world around me? Was in America, South Carolina, said, how come nobody warned us? That was the feeling. America felt alone because you guys over there, wherever you were, in Saudis, in Europe, you guys had some clues maybe and you never shared it. And they said, oh, we were supposed to know about it. We couldn't have known. You guys speak the language. You know it. You know how much information we gathered? That was the feeling. So when 2000 happened and 2002 was, you know, was in shock, I ran 2003 because I was with America like I am today. And nobody can say a word about the title, the entitlement that America has to lead the world. We have Secretary Kerry day and night rushing around all over the globe, helping everybody, talking. He was knocked down by a bicycle, couldn't even have fun alone, and he broke his hip, and he was still in a meeting. And what Iran does, you know, even with the struggling that we had with, you know, the Israeli-American struggle for the accord on Iran, what he does, she sent powerful troops out. I don't know if this accord will provide it some clue about sustaining that accord. Because if Iran is not obligated to an accord, a peaceful accord, it means that all bets are up. And I don't want even to think about what can happen. But let's forget about Iran right now, because she put her hands all over the place. But America needs to recover, right? That's why we have a campaign that is so brutal. And that campaign is brutal from big players. You see, the thing about the Clinton administration, which, you know, when Clinton was in office, I loved him. Of course, like everybody loved him. Everybody loved America happy. Everybody loved a smiling president. But we forgot that in the midst of this, he pushed Israel so much that it was the friction got the Rabin killed. Okay, if we put it on the game, let's put it on the game. This was it. 1995, Rabin got killed. Okay? After that, we have an election where Bibi Netanyahu is losing in 2002 Barack. Barack, because Clinton sent Carville, the Mr. Snake, to beat Bibi Netanyahu, which was easy, right? Because he's sending the big guy from America with all American troops, so-called troops. And you beat Netanyahu. You got Netanyahu out of office. Nice. Now Barack is getting out of Lebanon. You see Lebanon, the guy that today that's claiming Israel occupies some land. That land was invaded to protect Israel from the shooting of Hezbollah. And now we are getting back the same story because Barack did not fix it right with Bill Clinton. And he came back and he got... I'm checking the time now. And we have a Lebanon condition wasn't finished because Barack had to go. He left at night. Like the army. It's the Israeli army. The powerful as you can believe it. He just didn't want to have a confrontation. So he left. And we started in 7 years of Intifada. Intifada, it means riots. That was my Clinton administration, ownership of, you know, beautiful brotherhood of people with Israel in that time. So when they talk about, Clinton administration coming back to office, I said, okay, you know, guys, I'm not really sure that I want it. Even though the Prime Minister of Israel was so correct this time, he didn't even interfere. He doesn't want to support anybody. He said, whatever America chooses is good. I'm blessing. I'm playing with anybody. Fair enough. But I'm saying that's what Clinton left us, and not just this. 2000, Barack was such a lousy negotiator, which still is. And we got there with Arafat, and he pushed Arafat. You know, you push a Muslim to a negotiation room with all the cameras on. What you were thinking? And it's over. It was over. And they wanted to cut Jerusalem, to take Jerusalem out of Israel. Bill Clinton once said about his pastor before he died, he said, if you ever forget Israel, God will never forgive you. So I'm not God, of course, and God is, you know, is there, and it's not us. That's something obvious that we always say here in this show. But I want to remind you, Jerusalem is the holy city of Jerusalem, the Holy Land, needs to be worshipped, catered, controlled, not divided. It's like you want to stroke it. You want to divide the holy city. It's like insanity in the midst. And not just this. They wanted to give us the access to the Wailing Wall, which is the sustaining wall of the Temple Mount, which Temple Mount is the place where the Holy Temple was there. So it's the holy side. We still have some kind of status quo that we need to keep with the state of Jordan that doesn't play nice and doesn't play fair and doesn't appreciate what Israel is doing for it, because he's trying to generate some anxiety over that. Especially today when they opened the new session of the Knesset and the new session, and sure enough, there was an attack on Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. That's the name of that land. So apparently, the house of God is playing a very big, big place in this history. And for some reason, everybody wants to have a prayer house, right? But the Jews, you shouldn't have a land, you shouldn't have a place, you shouldn't have a home, you should not worship your God. Why? That's his why. There is no why. Every time they said to me, they drive me crazy. That's why I work so hard to free, you know, for freedom of worship. Because when you have a land that is written by the Bible, 2,000 years or 3,000 years of a book, from generation to generation, every Christian has it in the house. You know, it's like billion of people around the globe. We have the title of the land, and we want to build a house of God. And for some reason, God of Israel, they have a problem with it. Why? I don't know why. You know, because if we see the end of the days in the Jewish tradition is, it's peaceful coexistence. That's our vision of the future. I don't know what your vision to the future is, but our vision is of goodness. Now, if you let us reach it, no, you cannot. We don't ask you to let us. God, if God will let us, if we be worthy enough for God to let us be understood, because I guess that we need to be understood before humankind, we might, if we speak the same language, we might have a chance to join venture and start coordinating, helping, teaching, shedding some light to this universe that we all cohabited. And we need so much fixing. And it's not fixing because Donald Trump said. And, you know, Donald Trump is the old guys, okay? It's the old guards. It's like, if you look at him, it looks like Elvis Presley as far as I'm concerned, but blonde. He has that incredible, you know, gestures on him. And it can be okay. He's old school as far as women goes. He's old school as far as tradition goes. He's old school. It's fine. We can help him be the best president ever. Now, why I wouldn't give Hillary Clinton? Because she's reckless. How is she reckless? She's reckless with her understanding of what national security is. And when you have access to people that have generated some kind of traditional, I don't know, bonding with a very big Islamic organization. I don't know what, you know, national security is not something Americans are kidding about. So she has this on the record. She cannot throw it away. It's there for everybody to see. Now, Donald Trump will have to have a good advisors by his side. And I know he has a lot, Giuliani, and you have Newt Gingrich, you have me. No, I'm kidding. Everybody is, you know, can be a part of it. And we just have to pray for a better day, because I'm tired. I want to start doing some good. I want to start building, you know, great, great places, great, incredible houses, incredible, you know, humongous international accords. I want to that the canal between the Jordan and Israeli in the Middle Eastern Sea will be built. Want to help Jordan pass water. We want to help the world, you know, get more water that can be filtered. There is so much to do, guys. And we still, you know, need to have those incredible cars that Tesla is working so hard on it. I hope. Anyway, let's get some music and we'll be back after that. All right, we are back. That was Leonard Cohen. Guys, oldies but goodies. Trust me, those voices, old voices, we will miss them. We love Leonard Cohen. We love Celentano. We love Mina. I can't even start telling how much I love and I miss them already. I'm so, you know, I want to bless them to have such a long life. Anyway, we're going back to listen to one story is about, you know, when Donald Trump was talking about rigged election, he had something in mind. Let's listen to this Swiss story.
A Swiss billionaire now has invested in nonprofit voter registration that favors Hillary Clinton. Oh, I wonder why. According to Lachlan Marquet for the Washington Free Beacon, he is reporting that a Swiss billionaire and seven-figure Clinton Foundation donor is pouring millions of dollars into a nonprofit voter registration and turnout operation and appears to have shared information about the project with the Democratic Party, according to a leaked document. Now, his name is Hans-Jörg Wyss, or Weiss. He's accelerating a $100 million registration and get-out-the-vote plan in order to more quickly impact elections and the U.S. policy landscape. That's according to a document detailing the proposed work by his charitable group, the Weiss Foundation. It says here the document details the scope of the Democratic efforts to boost organizing, grassroots, and sheds light on how some of the left's deepest pockets are facilitating those efforts through nonprofit vehicles generally restricted to charitable activity. So this is how this guy can actually get away with something like this is beyond comprehension. But again, we are talking about American politics here. First of all, he's a foreigner. And he's running a foundation in America that's getting out the vote. That should be absolutely illegal. Now, when I was running the Super PAC for Ron Paul years ago, I got a crash course in political fundraising. You cannot accept donations from overseas in any way, shape, or form. Okay? I think we may have had to return some funds, or I don't remember exactly, but I just remember we were not allowed to do that. So the fact of the matter, this guy from the Swiss, from Switzerland is setting up an organization, pumping $100 million into it to get out the vote. I mean, that should be absolutely illegal. So I don't know how he's getting away with it. We're going to continue to monitor his activities to influence Hillary Clinton getting into the White House. Comment below, subscribe for updates. If you like what we're doing, give us a thumbs up and share this report. For the Next News Network, I'm Gary Franchi.
All right. Did you get this? You see, this is one pack, one major pack. We're not talking about Saudi's money that went all, and we're not talking about other issues. This is only on the surface. If you start scraping on the surface, you see so much money that is globalized money. Of course, you know, we are in globalized economy, everything is shifting from one side of the moon to the other. But the question is it legal to be, fundraising overseas? And it's not. I know I made a paper on this in the University of South Carolina about McCain finance reform, that it was. And it was very clear then, and it's clear today. You cannot accept, like you cannot let illegal immigrant vote. Like they're expecting the Spanish to be Hispanic to come and vote. Guys, it's really ridiculous. You know, I become an American citizen many, many years ago, like more than two decades ago. And I studied so hard. I took it too hard to be an American because the dream, the American dream was so real to me. And I succeeded in that. So. But I drove myself to be that American, and I know that the rules of thumb is play by the book, you know, obey the law, respect everything that is. That's when you have it in your heart to respect the country that gives you so much, and America is a giver. America is a country that teaches you so much, and the people around, the American people, teach you every day. You know, you cannot park the car in the wrong way. An American, dear American citizen, will tell you to park it right. So you come from a lousy, you know, third world country, and you park the way, you know, you would park in the middle of the jungle. And then you get Americans, and you stay by the line. They are very kind about it. They are not even abusive. And they do that. Sometimes they are, but it's up to your attitude to learn. And if you learn to behave better, they respect you, they give you, they welcome you, that you can do anything you want, just play by the rules. So that's why America deserves so much respect, so much love, and so much support, you guys. So I want to send all my love today to America, to Italy, my beloved country, to that I miss so much. And with the earthquake that was there, my heart go to them, and I pray for them, and I hope God will listen to our prayer today to keep our world safe, because we had plenty. This year, we want to start, you know, the 2017, the great years, okay? So let's pray for that. And until then, till next week. God bless you all. Ciao, ciao.